request for proposal, the name piece.
Welcome to the April 29th special meeting of the Rockland City Council. City manager is recognized for the roll call.
Councilor Geiger.
Here.
Councilor Pritchett. Mayor Izganitis.
Here.
Councilor McCallum Rupp. Councilor Clayton.
Here.
Attorney Beal.
Here. Before we begin, we'll stick to the standard format. The first 15 minutes of every special meeting is available for the public in a public forum for folks to address matters pertaining to city council, pertaining to city business before council. So at this point, I will open the public hearing. Anyone wish to speak can proceed to the podium, state your name and address. Just for to be clear, have Rockland residents go first. And you'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. My name is Ron Huber. I live in Rockland, and I'm executive director of Friends of Penobscot Bay. And as that, my job is to speak on behalf of the natural resources of the bay and when development projects appear that might affect the ecology and thus the renewable resources like lobstering, worm digging, clamming. So as we understand it, this Massachusetts Energy Company wants to set up what could be, from what we've read, one of Penobscot Bay's worst air and water polluters. Now, from what we've learned, and we hope that this will come into fact, discussion later, that the company's plan to build such a power plant in Massachusetts was rejected for pollution reasons. Now, if the plant's too polluting and too unhealthy for Massachusetts, and one of the issues, because what they say is it's not only a gas burner, it's a lung burner. You have what's called sulfuric acid mist, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, carbon monoxide, and particulates. And from what I've seen with EPA, it's not necessarily the healthiest levels, especially when it's right close to the neighborhoods. Now, that would be getting discharged into the South End's airshed 24/7. And if it is problematic, will Rockland have to put out public notices that warn asthmatics out of town or move the other end of town? You know, the Chamber of Commerce, what will they have to do there? And so we understand that there's not really any likelihood of a gas pipeline coming to Rockland in the near or foreseeable future. So if this is approved before a pipeline is, you're going to truck in coal? Or I'm sure the company will tell us. Will they bring in, you know, oil from Portland? Or what will they do? Because if there's no resource for them to make this power, that is, if there's no pipeline. And I know that's many, many, many millions of dollars. I don't know that our administration's really got the money for that. So in a way, it's sort of a pig in a poke. Seems like a big rush job. And just remember as you make your decisions, just think of the bay and its airshed. You've heard of all this ocean acidification stuff. This will put a lot of sulfuric acid and a lot of sulfates that will turn into acids into the airshed. And the challenge is the very shallow waters where your juvenile lobsters first lived. Little acid goes a long way there. So just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huber.
Good evening. My name is Joe Patton, 150 Cedar Street in Rockland. I'm concerned a little bit about the process and the lack of transparency in this project. So here's a piece of public property, and as stewards of that property, the council, I'm assuming, rather than just a two-week bid process, would send this out, look for other proposals. So is it the council's position that this is the highest and best use for this piece of property? I would argue probably not, but I would also suggest that you look further. Spend some more time studying. Here's 18 acres that you want to sell. What's the highest and best use? I doubt it's this. Thank you.
Hi, Jesse Watson, 168 West Meadow Road. I guess I want to start by just making a biological observation. I need to drink water in order to live, so if I don't drink water for a couple of days, I'm dead. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm opposed to a natural gas plant being built in Rockland, because that would provide a marketplace for these oil companies to move and sell their product. Okay. Now, the way these oil companies get natural gas is they gotta frack it to get it out of the ground. And when you frack to get natural gas, you poison people's wells. Okay. I give thanks every day that I got clean water coming out of my well. It keeps me healthy. I'm grateful every day that we got good water here in Rockland. And I don't want it on my conscience that we, the city of Rockland, would provide a venue whereby we would be morally complicit in poisoning other people's wells in some other town, whether it's in the Marcellus region in south of us in Pennsylvania, or whether it's from the new field they found up in New Brunswick. So I'm opposed to a natural gas plant like this. On moral grounds, I don't think we should be complicit in poisoning other people's wells in some other town. And I don't think it's a good investment because, you know, investing in the fossil fuel technology is just really not the way forward. If we want to have a conversation about energy, let's talk about conservation efforts, and let's talk about power down, and let's not be talking about investments in nasty business. So, thank you very much.
Mayor, members of the council, residents of Rockland, at home, and Chambers. My name is David Mislavotsky. I live on Broad Street. I know I'm going to be called a naysayer again. Fair enough. Please, just give us those $200 million, and we will show you what can we do in Rockland to insulate our homes and businesses, bring green power to Rockland, and lower, instead of raise, our local pollution. We are being told that bringing a polluting power plant to our hometown is the only way to avoid higher taxes. That this is good for us because it brings jobs and taxes. Once again, that famous jobs and taxes sentence. We have to ask ourselves if there are other ways to avoid higher taxes, and how on earth did we get in this financial bind? Let us consider that this is the council that keeps welcoming non-profits, keeps giving tips and every imaginable special tax break to the businesses in downtown, gave us a $200,000 deficit at the dump, keeps giving away our landfill at the tune of $3 a ton, keeps not collecting fees from any festivals because it's good for business, just sold a 78,000 property for $10,000. And in other words, this council has been working very hard in trying to bring down Rockland to its knees by not collecting the monies that are owed to us, the residents of Rockland. This is not something new. This process is called starving the beast, and we all know how does it work. Once the coffers are empty, the taxes are up to the wazoo, and municipal services are long gone, the powers to be showed up and tell the people, don't worry, we have a friend that is going to help us out. Thank you, but no thank you, City Hall. We don't need a stinking power plant where most probably all we are going to get is the pollution, and somebody else in Massachusetts is going to benefit from the power. I urge members of this council to defeat this bad idea of a plan and go back to the table, but please, this time, have the interest of the people of Rockland as your first priority. In closing, I have to ask, what would happen if I walk into our local Toyota dealer and I drop a $20 box and ask them to hold for me that shiny 2016 Tundra that is sitting in the lot? I have to ask the question because this is what council is doing by accepting meager $1,000 a month to hold a buying option. Absolutely ridiculous. Thank you.
Amy Files at 39 Pleasant Street. There's been a lot of talk from council about being more transparent and having better communications with residents. And I feel very strongly that this is a really wonderful example of not being transparent and not having good communications with residents. Yeah. You've met behind closed doors to discuss an agreement for really what's a huge proposition for Rockland, bringing a power plant to town. And we find out about it in Vancouver Daily News. And when we come to a meeting where, you know, we're talking about selling a specific site to this company. If we want to talk about having a power plant come to Rockland, we can have that conversation, but there should be a much more comprehensive discussion about safety and health conditions and where's the best site for this in town if it is a good decision for Rockland. But instead, we're talking about selling this property, and that's how this conversation is being framed. And it's really unfair to residents to start the conversation like this. Now, I have been already in communication with a couple of counselors, and what's been kind of said to me is that tonight is a vote on whether or not to further this discussion and kind of put it out there that, you know, we want to have more public input in this and that. And as far as I've seen in the couple of years I've lived here, once you say yes to a company like this, you open the door to bringing that proposal in. It's very difficult for residents to then be heard. So what I would like to see is a no vote tonight, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, we can talk about bringing a plant to town. But I don't see any reason to bring it to this location. It's within a half mile of our schools. It's almost central to Rockland's location. It's within a mile of every single one of our most densely populated neighborhoods. And you can Google natural plant gas, steam, and accidents. You can see explosions. Yes, the chances are minimal. But the chances multiply by the many thousands when you actually bring the plant here. The chances are zero right now. And I don't want to live in the shadow of that. And I know many other people don't. They don't want their kids going to school a half mile from that. Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, you want to talk about a power plant, great, but I urge you to vote no tonight, because I don't want to see any more discussion about this at this location. And I don't want to set up residents for years of fighting and battling that you can read about that the same residents have had against the same company and the same proposal in Westfield, Mass. And Chelsea, Mass. Thank you.
Can I ask everybody to refrain from, I thought that was understood, that we just ask everybody to refrain from any kind of acknowledgement, please. This is a public proceeding.
I'm Catherine Fogg Hill from Gray Street, and I don't know enough about this to decide if it's good or bad. But it seems that the order itself is written only about Rockland Energy Center. It doesn't mention any other possibilities for anyone else to be considered under this. To me, Rockland's like a bride. She's beautiful. Everybody loves her. Suddenly, a groom, Rockland Energy Center, comes in and makes a proposal. But what is everybody thinking about this? What do we know about this? Is this going to make a good long-term marriage, or is it going to end up very bad? Are there other suitors? Maybe Rockland Bride is beautiful, but is she known nationwide that she might have this wonderful land to make into a spot where something could be developed? Not perhaps something that's not so controversial, and I don't know if it's dirty or not. Is the bride accepting too quickly? Will there be a large industrial site at the entrance to our town, which people see as they come in, to come here as this beautiful tourist center? Why is Route 90 never mentioned as far as can land be developed up there rather than along Route 1, where we've got Route 90 going through with a beautiful road? And I think we should be thinking about beyond the industrial park or Route 1 Rockland coming into the city. Thank you.
Thank you. And at this point, I'm noticing that the 15 minutes is up. Before I entertain a motion, if I could get a show of hands of interested parties that were going to be wanting to speak tonight. Okay. So, recognize Councillor Clayton.
I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Mayor, if we can continue for up to 45 minutes, 3 minutes per person, with the amount of people that we have here, we'll obviously limit it to one.
Okay.
You know, they're able to speak once.
So, Councilor Clayton is making a motion to extend public comment for 45 minutes.
Up to
45 minutes.
I need a second.
This is not debatable, and the city manager is recognized for a vote.
Councilor Geiger.
Yes.
Mayor Izganaitis.
Yes.
Councilor Clayton.
Yes.
Okay, we took care of business. Next speaker, Ms. Schrein.
Thank you. Good evening. All of you that turned out tonight, those at home, and the city council, and the city manager. I have to ask, is Rockland City Council in need of a quick fix? With the announcement that the city council wishes to sell 18 acres of land, resulting in the need for a new city hall and a new public works garage, comes a lot of unanswered questions. What is the urgency in this matter and the secrecy really about? Many residents of Rockland have grave concerns, and since the majority already voted down a new public works garage, this is less than an admirable way to slide it back to the forefront and sell the land for a song so that the pet projects can proceed. Like with paper bag, this council is just not listening to the majority of the people. We voted on these issues, paper bag and the referendum for the new public works garage, and they were defeated. The proposed natural gas or waste to energy, as Mr. Pinto described it, plant by EM Inc., met strong opposition in Chelsea, Mass., where their plan was fought back till they lost their battle. Massachusetts needs and wants energy desperately, but not in their backyard. They are not allowing these plants to be built. So they think sitting it in Maine and sending the power back to Massachusetts is the way to go. Energy Management, Inc. subsidiary, Cape Wind Turbine Project on the Cape, has not come to fruition after many years of planning. In January 2015, they lost their market for the wind energy after the protests were sufficient to block the construction. Yet a new wind turbine plant started construction yesterday off Rhode Island and is the first in the United States to pass muster. Residents of Rockland, beware. These plants, while burning natural gas, are perhaps somewhat cleaner than coal-fired plants, but they pollute just as badly. The pollution can carry as far as a 200-mile radius from these natural gas plants. That puts a lot more than just a mile or two around this plant in jeopardy. The same environmentalists that fought this in Massachusetts will come and organize in Maine. The air pollution is a serious matter. Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont are adopting a strong stance against fossil burning plants and calling for more environmentally sound sources of energy. They just voted not to continue with expanding the pipeline in Vermont. It comes to mind that in the near future we will also hear of a plan for a huge regional trash sorting facility. The council recently voted that they could outsource this type of entity. If we are to be known as the jewel of the coast of Maine, do we really want this plant in our midst for the sake of financial gain? Why not just stop the spending on non-necessary items and clean up the line item budget process so that it is more accurate of our needs and not our desires? The bottom line here tonight is that the council is giving the impression that Rockland is for sale before it even discusses it with the residents and taxpayers, and in doing so, what appears in a duplicitous method. We need more answers and a better bid system that has recently been employed, and this process should start back in the beginning with resident input. It is clear that in 2013...
Ms. Schrein, you're way over time.
That's fine. I'm going to finish.
You need to wrap up, ma'am.
It is clear that in the 2013...
You are more than welcome to give us what you have written, but your time is over. Thank you. Many people to come. Please give us your written.
The rule is 5 minutes.
The charter says up to 5 minutes. Next speaker, please.
Eileen Wilkinson, 38 Hay Street. I'm really very disappointed to be here tonight. I'm really also very disappointed to see that two of the councilors are not here tonight. I just want to quote a couple of
parts of Steve Betts' article for Bangor Daily News, which is, I think, the only place that anybody found out about this. There is no timetable for extending the natural gas pipeline to Rockland and Camden. Identity of the company, this is, identity of the company was not disclosed because of concern by this EM, energy, whatever, that a competitor might try to sabotage the project by bidding higher to prevent construction of the plant. That was a quote from our city manager. Another quote, the industrial park is clearly an alternative. My question about this is, first of all, why are we here? And secondly, where is this gas coming from since we don't have any pipeline? And how's it getting out of here? So there are so many environmental, transportation, so many issues about this. And, you know, we've already seen the LNG debacles in Passamaquoddy Bay. We've seen it up in Searsport. What is going on in the city's council's mind just to bring this to the city, to the residents in this way, without any environmental impact statement, without any planning? What is going on?
Hello, good evening. My name is Brian Fuller. I live at 15 Jefferson Street in Rockland here. And I just want to talk for a second about a little bit of history of natural gas. I have a family member who is from Utah, where they had some natural gas. And they had natural gas in one of the ski areas in Utah. And what happened there, they thought it was a cheaper energy source at the time. So they accepted that, and they had natural gas go up to a big, large ski area, a very big one, that's in the state. And they had an explosion, because gas leaks. Mechanical, man-made things fail after a certain amount of time. It's a shelf life. And, the ski lodge blew up. There were many people killed. There was an avalanche. And after about 3 days of crews going through this area and trying to find anyone that was still alive, there was a boy found after 3 days living in a bathtub. His family had deceased. This stuff, I really believe in alternative energy. I don't believe it's really good to be dependent on foreign oil and that sort of thing. But I think we need a lot of education, a lot of looking into the pluses and minuses of different sorts of energy, and I really care about my friends and neighbors and family throughout the state that could be affected by fracking and their water sources throughout the state to run a pipeline, and I really care about my kids and my grandkids who live really nearby here, who could have this whole thing blow up in front of their faces and have no future whatsoever. So, I don't believe in depending on foreign things. I believe in trying to, have this country be self-supportive. But we really have to look at this whole thing. And I think we're looking at a kind of a dangerous proposition. I know we're looking at it from past history. And I appreciate you hearing me on this. Thank you very much.
Eric Hebert, 283 Lime Rock Street. To be honest with you, I'm not sure that I know whether or not having a natural gas power plant in Rockland is the right thing or not. And I think that's a discussion that we should have, but that's not my immediate concern. My more immediate concern is that might be the group that triggered the conversation to consider selling City Hall and Public Works. And my concern is about the process of evaluating the properties to figure out if we should sell them and where are you going to go if you do sell them. So I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you. One is a story. This is a true story. So a friend of mine who had a home in Falmouth was sitting in his living room one Sunday afternoon when he got a knock on the door, and a complete stranger came out and said, "I like your house. I want to buy it." And he thought, "What?" He says, "I'll give you $600,000 for the house." Now, I know it only cost him $200 to build, and it was paid off. So that sounded like a pretty good deal out of the blue. And he thanked the man for coming and sent him on his way. And he and his wife thought, well, we really didn't think about selling the house. But if we were, what would we get for it? So they actually kind of went through the exercise and got some real estate appraisals and so forth and decided, let's go ahead and sell the house, put it on the market, got into a bidding war, and it sold for $750,000. And the person who made the original $600,000 was not the one who bought it. So the moral of the story is just because you got an offer doesn't mean that's the one you should take. I think there's an old real estate axiom, never take the first offer. So I would hope that you would go through at least the exercise to figure out what your property is valued and not short sell it on the market. The second thought that I wanted to share with you is that even if you do feel that it makes sense to sell this property in Public Works, is where are you going to go? Hasn't been made clear to us where you think you're going to go, but I'm pretty sure wherever you're going to go, it's either going to cost more to build, rent, or lease than staying where you are. So I would hope you would give some serious thought about the expense of relocating as opposed to maybe a short-term capital gain from selling the property. And I'll leave you with one final thought. After 9 years of sitting in those seats, there were many times when an opportunity would avail itself to the council, and it was a sense of urgency. Boy, we got to act on this fast because otherwise this thing's not going to happen. And I can tell you, in more times than not, the thing that we worked so hard to get done never happened anyway. So I don't see the sense of urgency. Obviously, there's some pushback on, you know, maybe having a natural gas plant here. I think it would be good just to take a giant step backwards and sort of think this through a little bit more carefully. Thank you very much.
Charlie Jordan, 1 Walker Place. I came here tonight to fully support you on this. But now I think I've changed my mind. Okay. I think maybe it is time to step back and do a little bit more research on this. I certainly didn't expect that there would be this type of a turnout tonight. And I think that a lot of people have made some pretty darn good points, to and including the air and water and also the real estate piece of it. You know, maybe there is someone out there who's willing to do something more with it or something different with it. But I would say this, if this energy company is serious, they'll still be around when it's available. So I agree, I see no sense of urgency. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Susan Page. Third generation here, a local family business who employs 245 people. I believe we're probably one of the higher taxpayers in the city of Rockland. I was really surprised to read the article in Bangor Daily News as well. That's the first place that I learned of this, and actually had to read it twice to actually believe what I was seeing. But I'm asking all of you to step back as well, too. I think you folks are really getting the cart before the horse here. I feel that you should, if you're serious about selling city properties, especially 18 acres of property, you should have some formal appraisals done on those properties to find out what you truly what the going market rate would be for those properties. The other thing is, my understanding is there has not been a formal plan done to determine the cost to construct a new city hall. We know that the Public Works Garage, that was denied. prior by the voters, and that was at a cost of around $2.9 million. So getting $1.2 million for City Hall, I doubt $1.2 million is going to build an adequate City Hall nowadays. And we certainly know $350,000 is not going to construct a public works garage. So my question to all of you is, who's going to pay the difference? I mean, we know who that's going to be, and that's going to be the taxpayers. And so I think you need, I don't think that's fair. I think you need to really step back and do your due diligence and firm up these numbers and spend time, if you're serious about selling the property, to spend time marketing it out there to see if there's other folks, because certainly I'd hate to see the city sell, be so short. But at the same time, we need to know where City Hall is going to go as well. I think advertising for a week is not ample time to be able to find a potential buyer. Some of you have said that you feel an obligation to explore this to the residents. I think you folks have an obligation to all the residents and taxpayers of the city to do your due diligence, to come up with a plan and to tie down some of these numbers and determine if it's even going to cover the cost or so it doesn't cost us more money. I think most of us can agree that we're paying pretty hefty taxes as it is to begin with, and we certainly don't want to have to pay any more. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bert Swinner. I live at 7 Grant Street, and I'm a member of the Rockland Energy Committee, and I work at the Island Institute on Main Street. And my job there, I work on the community energy program. We help island communities and coastal communities think about the way that they use and produce energy. So I thought it would be helpful to provide sort of some thoughts on the way that we approach working with the islands to consider big energy projects when they're proposed. In this case, offshore wind developments, similar, you know, like the Monhegan offshore wind project that was recently proposed by the University of Maine. So I wanted to throw out sort of the three criteria, the three questions that we ask in helping islands think about such projects. The first is it responsibly sited? Is it in the right place to minimize impacts to the environment, the people living in the community, any economic interest there, in this case fishing. So that's the first question. The second, are community benefits in line with potential impacts? So, you know, are any payments made to the community in the form of taxes or otherwise, do those, you know, equal or outweigh potential impacts, lost fishing ground, further fishermen off of Monhegan, something like that. So that's the second question we ask. And then the third, and maybe the most important, is there a good process for engaging community stakeholders? And I think that's really important. I think just an example from Monhegan is that what we saw there is that people don't really like feeling like they're being brought into the process after important decisions have already been made, and they don't like hearing about projects either for the first time or significant changes through the media. And I think that's what some people are getting at here tonight. So that's what Monhegan ran into. There was a huge change. The project got significantly larger, and they had no idea until the university was awarded a lot of money to, a lot of money to proceed with the project. I think it's the responsibility of the developer to make the case to the community for the project, and it's the responsibility of the council to lead a good process and to facilitate a good community engagement process. And I would encourage the residents of Rockland to consider this project with an open mind and to avoid the sort of knee-jerk, NIMBY, not in my backyard reaction that is common with projects like this, because maybe it could be a good thing, but it's the responsibility of the developers to make that case and the responsibility of the council to lead a good process. Thank you.
Hi, My name is Sarah Woodman, and I live at 25 London Street in Rockland. I also would like to encourage a no vote for the reasons, you know, other people have spoken about today. As a gesture of good faith and transparency, working as our elected officials to help us all become informed in this process. And I also don't feel as informed enough about a natural gas plant to say that, you know, it's something that I absolutely do not want. But I do believe that we're a strong enough community that we really should be forward thinking, and we could be acting as environmental leaders for the state, you know, as stewards of what is so beautiful and what brings us the economic prosperity of the past, working with the oceans and the tourism that we rely on today. So again, please vote no. Thank you.
Atwell, 81 Pleasant Street. Haste isn't of the devil. Haste is the devil.
Good evening. My name is Lewis Metcalf. I live at 211 Thomaston Street. And there's been a couple of things that hasn't been brought up to. One is, I don't know if you're aware, you probably are, and should be if you're not, there's conservation land right out back, and it goes all the way down through the marshes, all the way down to Budmont Lane, that the state owns. I'm sure that and I hope that they would look at what's going to be going out into that marsh along the air, like everybody has said here tonight. I think that you people put the cat before the horse. I can't believe that you haven't looked at property. If you're going to sell this property at some point, whether it be for this project or some other project, I can't believe that you haven't looked at that and you don't have something in mind. I think that's kind of putting the cat before the horse, number one. I hope that you would take a long, long look at what you're doing here. I was on the council, city council, when this building was purchased, and I know what it was purchased for, and I know why we did it. They wanted to buy the Masonic Lodge, but it cost way, way too much money to renovate it. And we got this property for a little over $800,000. I think it was $1.2 million or $1.3 million at the time when they built it. And we lucked out on that. It didn't cost us that much to renovate this building. I think this is a beautiful property, 13 acres of land. I live directly right across. You can see my house out the back door from here. So, you know, I feel like a lot of the people here tonight has spoken about all of the, you know, what might go with this project. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that would like to have this project, like to have this property for something. So I think you should step back and take a hard look at what you're doing and slow down. I'm sure if you don't, there might be people out there circulating referendum to try to prevent this from ever happening. And right now, based on what I'm hearing, I would say that if a referendum ever did come up, you'd lose. Thank you.
Maggie Trout, Rockland Council. I wasn't going to speak, but I'm very impressed with the amount of thought that the speakers tonight put into their comments. I wasn't going to speak until I heard the word NIMBY mentioned, which should not be part of this conversation at all, no matter in what context that concept is provided. These people have really done their homework. They're not just saying, we don't want this here. That's, you know, I don't want to drive by it. They really did the research, and I just urge everyone to, and the council, to please honor what people have put into their comments tonight. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm James York, 38 Linden Street. As I was driving up here today, I noticed about 6 or 7 properties for sale, just from Linden Street up here. You know, our taxes continue to go up. our school budgets continue to go under the acts. Now, I think, I don't know if this power plant is right. I think it's more of a substation. I don't know the details. You guys know the details. But I do think you have an obligation to the residents to do what you can to maintain a competitive mill rate. You know, there's property right down the street in Thomaston. They can easily relocate this. And we wind up with the pollution. We wind up with the traffic. We don't wind up with any tax revenue. You know, that's scary to me. I don't want a polluting facility here. But what are we burning now? What are these companies burning now? Burning number two, number six oil. That's far more dirtier than natural gas. This would probably be an improvement to our quality of air. What's Dragon putting up there now? You know, what's that floating down the south end? Is this natural gas going to be actually cleaner for some of this industry? I think there's fair questions to be asked on both sides, and I appreciate the council doing what they can to look at the residents that are being forced out of their houses because of the raising taxes and schools too. You know, I mean, how many year after year we got to look at our budget to cut schools, cut services? Why is that when our mill rate is ridiculous compared to other towns? I appreciate your work on this. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address council? Public hearings closed. City manager's recognized.